89.7 FM. Good people, great music.
And this is Drive Tuesday. Here with Adam and Jack. It's David Bauer with Jack. And I've got Adam Triggs on the line. Adam is an economist with the Crawford School of Public Policy. He was a former advisor at the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. I think that was in the Julia Gillard years. And he's the economic policy advisor to Andrew Lee, Shadow Assistant Treasurer. He's got an article in this latest monthly, The Monthly, which came out on the 17th of May, A Few Big Firms. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So, Adam, you're writing about the concentration of industry in Australia. Basically, we're a small market and there's the big players in lots of areas like beer and banks. A few control most of the markets and to the detriment of competition. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, our research started with a very simple question that was put to us by John Daly, who's the head of the Grattan Institute, where he asked us how many industries we could name in Australia that weren't controlled by just three or four big players. And I don't know about you, but Andrew and I struggled to think of very many, so we decided to look into it. And we looked across 481 industries across the Australian economy and found that more than half of them are concentrated, which means that the big four firms control more than a third of the market. And as you say, in many markets, such as banking and superannuation, insurance, and of course beer and baby food and supermarkets and some strange ones, the big four firms often control 80 or 90% of the market. And this is a detriment to competition, and we explain some of the problems that can arise.
So you do cite beer as one of the most concentrated, with the four biggest manufacturers controlling 90% of the market. And you point out beer prices have outpaced inflation, up 42% over the last decade. Because what the beer makers do is then have, they market boutique brands, and you think this is a separate little outfit that's doing it, much like a small winery might.
Well, one of the problems that we discover is you sort of imagine when you're drinking these craft beers that it's being manufactured by your local hipster, but in reality a lot of these craft beers are actually owned by the big beer manufacturers. So some of the beers like White Rabbit, Little Creatures, Kosciuszko, Nat Steen, Matilda Bay, many of these are owned by the major beer manufacturers in Australia. So in reality, these big manufacturers actually own their own competitors. So it's almost sort of like faux competition in that sense.
Yes, and it fools us, doesn't it? It makes people think that they are diversifying in their consumption, and in fact, they're not really.
It does, yeah. I think it provides that false sense of security that there's lots of choice out there. Then in reality, when you look at the ownership of a lot of these companies across the Australian economy, you actually find that a lot of them are owned by the same company. So in reality, that competition isn't anywhere near as strong, which is bad for consumers because it means higher prices and ultimately a higher cost of living as well. So there are lots of problems that flow from it.
Now, you point out that the big four banks have increased their share of market assets from 65 to 70% in the past decade, and they have an annual return on equity of over 15%, which is much higher than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the big developments in the Australian banking system was during the global financial crisis, there was the merger between Westpac and St. George. So that was a big contributor to this increase in concentration. But you can see this flowing through in terms of problems for competition.
Now,
ordinarily, you would expect to see the profits that banks earn would be pushed down if there was strong competition. If their return on equity was high, you'd expect to see that pushed down as well. And also interest rates, you would expect to see more competition there. But our analysis shows that compared to the comparable advanced economies, our banks are very profitable. They have very high returns on equity. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence that suggests we have a big competition problem with our banks.
In fact, during the global financial crisis, they were given government guarantee, weren't they?
Well, yeah, and that sort of made it worse, because what we saw was there was a capital flight within the country where the banks that didn't have the guarantee saw all of their capital and deposits shifting to the ones that did. And for a consumer, that makes sense. You don't want to have your money during a crisis to be in a bank that doesn't have a guarantee when you could shift it to one that does. So really that made it worse.
So was that, did that guarantee go to, it didn't go to the smaller banks then?
No, it went to the big banks and it went to a couple of others. But the, when you talk about smaller credit unions and smaller banks that are often just located in particular states, a lot of them didn't get the guarantee, and that's where you saw that capital flight.
Yeah. Now, I remember Gail Kelly, who, of course, had been head of St. George, and then she, when there was a merger, she became head of Westpac. And when the Abbott government was elected, their kind of mantra was, Australia's open for business. And she repeated it. She said, yeah, Australia's open for business. And I thought, that's a nice backhander to the prior government that had actually given you this guarantee.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you gave me several billion dollars, I think I'd have some nice things to say about Tony Abbott as well. But I think that's just the outcome you can expect.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just thought, well, you know, she wasn't particularly savvy in doing that. But anyway.
Yeah.
So what we've got is powerful players. For instance, the people, the companies buying from farmers are able to push prices down. And farmers are squeezed, as you point out, they're squeezed because they're squeezed in a sense that they rely on the big corporations to get their fertilizer and whatever, their farm supplies. And then they get squeezed at the other end in prices and what they have and what they sell to the supermarkets and wherever.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we detail in our article in the monthly that there are a range of, or there's a large increase in anti-competitive conduct in Australia, and certainly if you look at our dairy farmers, that's one of the classic examples where they're selling to the big supermarkets or they're selling to Murray Goulburn or whoever it might be, some firms that have substantial market power, and they're buying all of their inputs, such as seeds and fertilizers and pesticides, from equally concentrated large firms that have a lot of market power as well. So as you say, they're really getting squeezed from both ends, and you can just see in the news the trouble they're having.
This is Drive Tuesday, and I'm talking to Adam Triggs, who's co-written an article in this week's monthly about concentration of industry in Australia, co-written with Andrew Lee, the Shadow Assistant Treasurer. Now, it seems to me, Adam, that our system, our whole economic structure, isn't doing what it should do in terms of economic growth, social cohesion, and protection of the environment. It's failing. If it's not failing, it's falling down in these three areas.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look, read back, right back to the literature from Adam Smith, I mean, he always talked about the importance of the free market and the invisible hand, but he always talked about the importance of recognizing when the market can fail. And one of the areas he frequently talked about was the focus in our paper, which is competition policy, and the idea that when firms get together, they probably can't resist but to start fixing prices and to do things that's going to hurt the public. And the same is true for what economists call externalities or pollution, climate change, and those effects as well. So what we need with the economic system is to always make sure that we have those regulations in place when it comes to the environment, but also in terms of competition. And then also, we all know capitalism can have rough edges. So when you talk about how the system treats people with disabilities or people who are unemployed, that's when it becomes really important to have a strong social safety net. So that's another part of what Adam Smith frequently talked about in his literature.
Yeah, it seems to me that we need governments to hold the large corporations in check, that there has to be some sort of balance there. And it's gone perhaps too far in favour of the corporations. And I'll just cite Paul Krugman's article in today's New York Times. What he's saying there is that employees are getting screwed over in two ways by the big corporations. Firstly, the health care and health insurance, and before the Affordable Care Act came in under Obama, they would get health care from their employer, but that made it very difficult to move jobs. Secondly, the issue of non-compete clauses, where people who leave one employer previously have been forced to sign, I've had to sign a non-compete clause, which means they can't go out and then work for someone else in the same sort of area. And this has been spread very wide. So what Krugman is saying, he says, workers in the US, supposedly the land of the free, are actually creeping along the road to serfdom, yoked to corporate employers the way Russian peasants were once tied to their master's land. And we haven't gone that far yet, but and in America, the corporations have basically taken control of the political system in the sense of the pressure they can put on primaries, particularly in the Republican areas. There's such big money involved in American elections that the system's been corporatized, and we have to be careful that doesn't happen here.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we have in Australia, which is very much in line with what Krugman is warning about, is these non-compete clauses. So our legislation in Australia will actually permit firms to put in employment contracts special clauses that will prevent you from leaving that business to go start up a competing business. Now, for society, that's a terrible outcome. I mean, we want more businesses to be created. That's where growth comes from. That's where employment comes from. But these non-compete clauses, a lot of the literature in Australia shows that these are becoming much more frequent. And they're also very onerous, and even though they might go further than what the law allows, the fact that these are such big companies makes it so difficult for workers to actually stand up to them, so they comply with them even though they're probably illegal. So this is, I have no idea why these are legal in Australia. I'm very surprised that they haven't been shut down yet.
Yeah. Just one last thing. I follow African politics and South African politics, and the issue in South Africa is what they call state capture, and that is where the ruling elite and the corrupt elements of the ruling elite, the ANC, are in bed with some of the big economic players, and they put people in positions of power or control over state corporations, and then in turn those corporations put out tenders and they go to friends and whatever, and there's a lot of corruption going on. Now, we don't have that, but nevertheless, it's something we have to watch, isn't it, that kind of thing?
It really is. The problem with when you talk about competition problems is that a lot of these firms, it becomes very self-reinforcing. That once they obtain market power and they start obtaining these enormous monopoly profits, they can then use those profits to entrench themselves further by erecting barriers to entry to stop new entrants from coming in, but also in terms of lobbying governments as well and making sure that regulations are shaped the way they want. So it's a real vicious cycle that I think we can learn from other countries to see what's happened there and just to make sure that doesn't happen here. I think a lot of that is around reforms to political donations, I would imagine, is the key area to look at, as well as competition reforms as well.
And tax.
Definitely.
A lot of the big players don't pay enough tax.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was, I read a little while ago in the ATO statistics that you've got, in terms of individuals, 46 individuals in Australia who earn more than $1 million and don't pay any tax. They push it right down with deductions. So we've got, we've seen some good things go through the parliament, but still got a long way to go on that as well.
All right, Adam. Look, thanks very much for coming on air and talking about the article. It is in the latest monthly, and it's called, what's it called again?
It's called A Few Big Firms.
A Few Big Firms. That's in the 17th of May monthly. It's obviously just come out, and it's Andrew Lee and Adam Triggs. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
And this is Drive Tuesday. I'm going to